Next 2 days go by smooth as buttermilk. Shiloh gets biscuits or toast and a couple of bites of ham for breakfast. And then in the evening, I fix him up some frankfurters, cut up and mixed with sour cream, and little chunks of cheese. He don't much like the cheese. It sticks to his teeth, and he turns his head sideways when he chews, trying to get it off. Licks his chops afterward, though. He throws up the first time he eats the stuff. Too rich for his belly, I guess. But after that, he manages to keep it down. And all the while, he's fattening out a little. Each day, it's harder to see his ribs. I know my secret can't go on forever, though. Only had the dog for 6 days. And that evening, I find out that Judd Travers wants to hunt on our land. Up the hill and over in the far woods. Thinks maybe he could find himself some quail over there, he says. When Dad tells us that piece of news at dinner, my whole body goes cold. I want to jump up and scream, no! But I just grip my chair and wait it out. Ray, I don't like that idea at all, Ma says. You never asked to hunt on his land, and I don't want him hunting on ours. If we let him, we've got to let anyone else who asks. And one of those shots could find its way down here. I'll tell him no, Dad says. I don't like the idea of it myself. I'll tell him the kids play up there. I stop gripping the chair, but my heart still goes on thumping hard. I'm thinking how maybe Judd Travers has hold of the idea that I got his dog hid up there. And he's looking for an excuse to snoop around. Having Shiloh a secret is like a bomb waiting to go off. Next day, Dad comes home with more news. Good news to him. Bad news to me. Can't figure it out, he says, walking through the door with a sack in his hands. Folks are taking to leaving me food in their mailboxes, Lou. Used to be it was just Mrs. Ellison and her banana bread, but found me a ham sandwich today in Nora Klingel's box and half a baked pie in the Saunders. I look thin to you or something? Ma laughs. Maybe it's just you're the best mail carrier they ever had on the route. Well, we got half a pie for dessert tonight anyways, Dad says. Oh, brother, I say to myself. Maybe Mr. Wallace is doing more talking than I figured. He wouldn't come right out and tell folks I was in his store buying cheap food, but he might just pass it along that the Preston family's in hard times, and suddenly food starts appearing. That's the way it is here. The next day, Ma rides into town with Dad, taking the girls along, and goes shopping for new sneakers for Daryl Lynn and socks and underpants for Becky. First time I have the whole place to myself, and I let Shiloh run pure free. Bring him down the hill to the house, feed him the heels off a loaf of new bread, all the leftover sausage from breakfast, and a bowl of milk. Then I let him lick the oatmeal pan. Show him every one of our four rooms. Hold him in my lap on the porch swing and laugh when he tries to stand up on the seat himself while the swing's moving. I let him smell the couch where I sleep and crawl under the front steps to sniff out the mole lives under there. Follow him all over creation when he takes out after a rabbit. Then he gives up when he sees I'm not going to shoot that rabbit. No way. But I figure my luck's going to run out if I don't get him back to his pen soon. So about noon, I take him back. And he goes right to the gunny sacks in the lean-to. He's so tuckered out. It's just in time, because when I get back and get the dishes done for Ma, the house picked up some, I look out and here she comes up the lane with Daryl Lynn and Becky and their packages. Somebody gave them a lift. You can always count on that around Friendly. Ma's pleased I got the dishes done, I can tell. It's nice to come back to a clean house, Marty, she tells me. Had good luck with my shopping, too. Wasn't a thing I bought that wasn't on sale. Daryl Lynn's wore her new sneakers home and got a blister already. But she don't care. She's so glad to have something new. When I walk in the kitchen next, Ma's looking at her face in the mirror over the sink. Got her eyebrows raised high. Then she pushes them low, then raises them again. When she sees me studying her, she says, Marty, I got frown lines on my face. Tell me the truth now. I look at her good. Sure don't see any, I say. I don't, neither. Ma's got a pretty face. Plain, but smooth. Well, I don't either, but two people this morning asked me how I was feeling, and one of them wants to tell me what to take for headaches. I figure that if folks think I have headaches, I must be doing a lot of frowning. Womp, 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 that's my heart. When folks think they got a remedy for something, they'll tell it to you whether you need it or not, I say. Sound so grown up, I hardly recognize myself. So scared inside, though, my stomach's shaking. Ma's taking out all the things she's bought and putting them on the table, taking the price tags off Becky's underpants and socks. I saw David's mother at the dollar store, she says, and they've got relatives coming in tonight. She wanted to know if she could bring David up here tomorrow when the rest of them go to Parkersburg. I told her yes. Okay, I say, but all the while I'm thinking what I'm going to do with David to keep him off that hill. Take him up toward the old Shiloh schoolhouse, maybe? Walk along the river? Funny thing is, you've got yourself a dog. You sometimes feel like you don't need anyone else. Used to be I'd be waiting at the window for David Howard to come up here for a visit. Nobody else loves you as much as a dog. Except your Ma, maybe. That night, Ma makes us fried chicken for supper. First time in a long while. I put away a wing and a thigh on a saucer to eat later, I tell Ma. And add a spoonful of squash, which might be good for Shiloh's insides. He eats anything. The frankfurters and cheese and sour cream is all gone. So I gotta be watching for table scraps again and go out can collecting soon. Dad's working on the pickup after dinner, changing the oil. Becky and Daryl Ann's turning somersaults in the grass, and Ma's cleaning the kitchen. Soon as her back is turned, I sneak the food off the saucer and head up the hill to see Shiloh. I can tell Shiloh likes the fried chicken better than he liked the sour cream frankfurter mess he'd been eating all week. Even eats the squash, and then he licks my hands and fingers to get all the salt off any place I'd touched a piece of chicken. Since I'd already taken him all over creation that morning, I don't feel he'll miss much if I don't take him out again. So I go around scooping up all the dog dew like I do every day, toss it over the fence, and then I lie down on my back in the grass and cover my face with my arms, our favorite game. Shiloh goes nuts trying to uncover my face, nudging at my arms with his nose, tail going 90 miles an hour. Never whines like some dogs do, though. Even when we're out in the far meadow, racing the wind, he'll start to bark, and I'll say, "Shh, Shiloh," and he stops right off. Wish I could let him make a little noise. It's not natural, I know, to keep an animal so quiet. But he's happy quiet, not scared quiet. I know that much. I move my arms off my face after a while and let him rest his paws on my chest. And I'm lying there petting his head. He's got this happy dog smile on his face. The breeze is blowing cool air in from the west. And I figure I'm about as happy right then as you can get in your whole life. And then I hear someone say, "Marty." I look up, and there's Ma.